I breathe into this, does it pick it up, or is that what this thing's for?
The filter helps with a lot of that, but you can, yeah.
That'll get picked up? Okay.
This is also your first time ever using any computer
or microphone, pretty much.
Well, welcome, man. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Reluctantly so, but I'm here.
Kevin Mahoney. Where's that last name come from?
Southern Ireland, County Cork, the most rebellious county in Ireland.
Is it really?
Yeah, we like started the rebellion.
So you guys are the cast from Gangs of New York.
From The Wind That Shakes the Barley, actually, with Cillian Murphy. But we were originally the O'Mahonys, which I was told from a librarian in Madison, Wisconsin, that I'm saying my name wrong. It's supposed to be Mahoney.
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 Wow. Yeah. Oh, what you doing, Mahoney?
Ah, Mahoney, another pint for ya.
Yeah, that's like, my name's Lugo, and apparently it's from Spain. There's actually a town in Spain called Lugo, and my dad constantly tells me about it, and he sends me pictures from there. He's like, this is the town that we can essentially own if we just go there and prove to people that this is where we're supposed to
be. Yeah, that's all you have to do, yeah, is exactly. Just show up with your ID.
Just this is ours now. A normal ID and be like, oh, I did not know this, I'm so sorry. There's actually a Lugo Avenue in Miami where I grew up. It was like, yeah, right down the street from my house.
Yeah, we had a Mahoney Avenue in my town growing up, and one night in high school.
In Minnesota?
Yeah, in Minnesota. One night in high school, this is probably summer after senior year, my friends and I all drove out with, I think this was actually our second time, because the first time we went, we thought we could just unscrew it and steal it and take it away.
That's what my dad wanted to do. Like, he was like, one night.
I still want to do it.
Yeah.
Because it failed. We like went back with tools and like shit scared. Like, we were not the kind of kids who would do this. Mm-hmm. But it was after high school and we were feeling like changing our personalities before college. Mm-hmm. But then we got halfway through and the house that lives right next door turned the lights on. Outdoor lights, and we freeze for like 30 seconds, and then a guy like walks out and just stares at us, and we're still frozen until he like he can't see
us.
Are
you gonna do anything?
Right, like he's a T-Rex, and we like, if we don't move, he won't see us. And then he just goes, "Hey!" And then we just like sprint in the car and drive
away. 15 minutes of just a stand-off. Yeah,
he was hoping just staring us down would get us to leave, but we.
That's insane. But that's when I found out. Like, you ever go to a friend's house and he had like a stop sign on his wall from like the street?
Yeah, lots of stolen traffic cones.
I used to think that was like, oh, you know, as a kid, if you wanted to take a street sign and put it in your wall, like, you just have to try to get away with it.
Yeah.
But that's, like, crazy illegal, right?
I'm sure. It's like,
yeah, no, it's gotta vandalism. Be. It's gotta, yeah, for sure, for sure.
But when you're under 18, just none of that matters.
Anything.
And you just don't care. It just doesn't matter, especially in Minnesota.
Also, in the 2000s, man, like, there weren't a lot of restrictions. There were, but everyone was kind of just like, nah. Like, remember in the 90s where everyone's like, what are you gonna do? It's the 90s. You know what I mean?
I know. I wonder if every generation thinks they're in that generation.
Like, I feel
and
like,
kids today are thinking, like, we can get away with anything. We can.
I don't know, man. I feel like this generation is so uptight that it's harder to do.
I'm sure part of it is the constant filming of everything that's happening.
That is true.
I can't imagine being able to get away with drinking at a house party when your mom is on Facebook or Snapchat and sees the evidence of it the day before.
That has completely ruined the romanticism of like doing like rebellious things as like a teen.
I know, you can't get away with anything.
Yeah, you always have to film it, and there's always the one person who's trying to like troll you by filming it and like posting it and then someone getting in trouble.
Yeah, I would not want to grow up right now.
Well, thanks for being here, man. This is episode 4 of Conversations from a Room. Thanks for tuning in, guys. If anyone is actually tuning in, we'll see. Kevin is convinced that no one's ever going to listen to this.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed that no one ever does. Yeah, you were pretty skeptic about getting on here, man. What's that all about?
No, I just don't like the spotlight whatsoever. That's part of why I wanted to go into writing.
I know, yeah. You know,
complete background, never have to be seen.
You are kind of
heard.
The...
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm insecure, but I hate attention. I've always hated birthday parties.
Mm-hmm. Really? Even as a kid?
And, oh my God. I mean, probably, I'm sure I loved it until a certain age just for the presents, but I hated it probably after like 12 or 13.
But what the funny thing is, when I met you, you were very outgoing. Like, when I met you at work, and you were the first person I started talking to because you were very like, you're easy to talk to. You know what I mean? You were open and you were like, hey man, what's up? You were very welcoming, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm a very situational extrovert where mm-hmm. in certain situations I can be like okay around other people and joke around and be casual. And it seems to start right away. Like I either know I'm going to be comfortable in this situation or not in a certain job for the whole time. And I've had jobs where I'm like the quietest person there and jobs where I'm the loudest person there. And mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's about.
I think it has to do with, I don't know. How were your parents? What type of parents did you have?
Like, my mother is definitely an extrovert. She's always the loudest one in the room.
Same here.
And it is very comforting because anytime we're out together at a dinner or anything, there's never an awkward silence or a lull in the conversation. Yeah. She'll always pick up.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
And
my dad is much more like me. We're both definitely introverts who can be extroverted.
That's so funny. My parents are exactly the same. If we're comfortable. My dad probably says two words at the dinner table and it's like, pass the salt. So that's three. I lied. And then my mom is like the constant chatterbox, and she'll just talk. Not and even if no one's listening, she'll just talk.
Oh yeah, my mom will just call anytime she's just driving the car. Mm-hmm. She'll just give me a call just because she's bored with, like, she just doesn't like the silence even herself.
It's
and
funny
to talk about nothing.
It's funny because as a kid or even growing up, like in high school, I didn't talk to. I talked to my mom a lot, but it was like small talk. You know what I mean? Like it was fine. But now, like, she'll call me, and we'll have, like, 30-minute conversations on the phone. Just, like, goofy, just whatever, like, two friends on the phone. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm sure I've talked to my mom, like, 20 times more than my dad. But mm-hmm. I'll have the meaningful conversations with my dad, mm-hmm. but less so. And then just all the mundane generic stuff with my mom constantly all the time.
Yeah, see, that's where I have a difference because I can talk to my mom about anything and it's like casual. There's no awkwardness. But like my dad called me on my birthday and he was like, "Hey, how's it going?" "Oh, I'm good. Happy birthday." "Oh, thanks. Anyways, hey, we're switching to AT&T, so you're gonna get some new paperwork in the mail. Just take it to the store," and I'm just like, "Okay, cool. All right, well, have you heard from mom?" "Yeah, she called me." "All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow." "Bye." Like that's basically how our conversations.
Yeah, all of the Mahoney men are terrible on the phone.
Mahoney.
Yeah, we always are constantly trying to get off the phone, and I've heard this from like my grandmother, my mom, my older brother's girlfriend. It's all of the Mahoney men. It's constantly like, "Okay, yep, okay, and mm-hmm. and is that it?" Or like starting conversations with like,
"I gotta go.
Do you need something?"
"Yeah.
Okay, what, are you calling for something
that's
important?"
How my
or
dad
like.
Is. He'll answer the phone.
It's always how soon can I get out of this conversation? And that's even the extroverts, it's the phone. I just don't like talking on the phone.
Same here.
I can have
Same
a conversation here. With someone for hours, but on the phone, I hate it. Skype is even worse. Like,
can't
stand Skype.
Rachel will call me because she wanted to talk to tell me something about having at work that day. She'll talk for like 15, 20 minutes straight.
Yeah. See, I'll hear a story.
Yeah. And that's fine. I'll be like, "Oh, okay, mm-hmm, yeah, oh, all right, cool."
Yeah.
And then as soon as she's like, "So how was your day?" And I was like, "Well, this is where the conversation ends.
I'll tell you about it when I get home."
Exactly. Yeah. As soon as she's like, "So what are you up to?" I'm like, "Look, we're not going to talk. Like, I'm not going to small talk with you right now. Like, we live together. We're not small talking. I'll just wait till you get home and we'll talk then. I'm not going to sit on the phone with you and describe what I'm doing right now. That's not happening." So I kind of introduce this into the show. I always offer the guest, a drink. You know, there's beer, wine, whiskey, all that stuff. But you walked right into the apartment without even offering your drink. You walked right into the apartment. You just grabbed a beer from the fridge and you just got, you're pretty comfortable.
No, I asked.
You were like, what you said was, "Hey, you still got that beer here that you have left over?" And I'm like,
yeah. Cause last time I was here, there was like 90 beers.
Yeah. Well, cause I was having a little party. But
I knew as soon as I got here I'd want to drink just because the insecurity about having to have this conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, which alcohol obviously helps.
So is beer your liquor of choice usually?
No, well, Not recently. I have developed a little beer belly for the first time in entire life. And so I've switched, but I'm not going to give up alcohol. So I've been doing more whiskey waters a lot.
Whiskey with water? Oh, I guess that's, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't. I used to just drink whiskey neat, which I love. I really enjoy, especially Irish whiskey.
Yeah, same here. What's your Irish whiskey? Your favorite?
Yeah,
one?
I love like Irish Jameson. Whiskey. Yeah, like Jameson's. Cheap. I like Tullamore Dew a lot, which is nice really because good. It's not that expensive or cheap.
Yeah.
Or Teeling is nice if you have the money. Yeah. But
I quite like Jameson actually. I think for the price and for the quality, it's not bad.
But I used to just do it neat, and that just gets you drunk way too quick. And I so I'll just do a little bit, and then a ton of water, and then it's just the process of just sipping it and just having a drink is, I don't know.
Part How of long that. Did it take you to kind of like? Adjust to just sip drinking straight whiskey because people do that too, like I'll drink straight whiskey from a glass. That's how I enjoy my
drink. I never
and people are like, what the hell's the matter with you?
I probably didn't start till after college. I got really into cocktail mixing and I bought all the accoutrement and like bought the books about mixology
really
and just tried.
Usually people give you those as a gift, you went and bought
I know
them.
I don't know what triggered it.
You wanted to become like this, like
I wanted it to be
like
my
John
thing
Hamm,
yeah, I wanted it to be a hobby
where someone comes to your house and like what would you like to drink and you make them a drink
completely.
Ever happen? Did you ever go
it probably did happen a couple times. It was like a year after college and I had disposable income for the first time ever. And I just wanted something to spend it on. And so I bought like all the nicest booze and all the like mixers and the triple sec and all that. And so I made myself like half the drinks in the book. And then I just came to realize that whiskey's my favorite drink.
But let's backtrack a bit. Let's talk about your childhood. What type of kid were you? What was it like growing up in Minnesota? Is that ever get annoying when people say that?
No, you're the first person to ever do it.
Really?
No.
You asshole.
No, I had a very idyllic childhood. We were in the suburbs of the Twin Cities, suburbs of Minneapolis. And we literally like lived in this little neighborhood in the woods. I had like a tree fort in the backyard. We had a cul-de-sac where we literally tossed a football around in with all the other neighbor kids who were all around the same age. And we had a little beach with on the lake that we could walk to with a little floating dock, and it was like out of those 50s TV shows. It was pretty nice.
For sure, it sounds like a Christmas Carol.
Yeah. No, I had a happy childhood. It was pretty chill.
That's good.
Yeah, which doesn't make for great art later in life. I don't have any trauma. Much trauma to dig into.
I mean, what about like your relationship with your parents? Like, is there?
Yeah, well, I like to think I'm a very well adjusted, mentally sound person today, and part of that was because my parents were so fucking good at being parents.
Mm-hmm. And my parents were
like they were just perfect.
My
they were really
were
good.
We're winging it from day one.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm a middle child, so I had my older brother's 2 years older, so I'm sure they worked out some of the kinks.
Yeah,
on
I was
him.
My dad calls me like the guinea
the experiment.
Pig. Yeah, because I was the first child, and so everything he did wrong was with me first, and then he had to correct himself with the next two kids.
Yeah, it's bananas to think that my parents were having me at the age I am now. They were having their second child right now at 28.
Wow.
Which is...
My parents had their first child at like 23. They had me at like 23.
That's,
yeah,
that's
it was
unbelievable.
Insane.
I
was
can't imagine.
23. I think I was still in... I just moved to LA. I just moved here.
Yeah, so you had accomplished nothing
I had
at that
done
point.
Nothing except having to still have them help me pay for rent. You know what I mean? It was insane.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And did you have do you still have a close relationship with your brother and sister?
I'm very close with my younger sister, who's 5 years younger. Mm-hmm. We talk all the time, and my brother. I'm actually going to my brother's wedding in a month.
Wow! Congrats.
Yeah.
You're gonna be an uncle.
Not yet. We'll see. I don't think it's a shotgun wedding, but we'll see. But we are like, we're just like friends. Like we talk when something needs to be talked about we can talk and hang out when on over holidays, but we're not super close.
Yeah. I mean, that's
which I think
fair.
It's just
I mean,
personality.
As long,
like if we just met normally outside of a family, we probably wouldn't be friends, which is fine. But we don't like fight. We just are like, he's fine.
You guys get to along together by default.
Right. And my sister and I are like very much more kindred spirits. Mm-hmm. And so we have similar interests, and we would like, if I met her at a party, we would be friends. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you can't like force friendships just because you grew up together. Mm-hmm. And we probably wouldn't have been friends either, but now we would be. Because I didn't figure it out till college.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't figure it out till after college who I was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think even in college, I was still kind of just like floating. I was kind of just like...
But at least in college, I figured out how to be socially adept. Like, I could talk to girls and just have normal conversations.
I know it sounds cocky, but I don't think I've ever really had that problem. I've never really been nervous talking to girls. Because I always entered it as in like, hey, this is just a person, you know?
That's what you learn eventually, yeah, yeah. But no, I definitely
not like not like I'm degrading them. Like, you're just a human. Who cares about you? But it's like,
no, yeah,
hey, you're just, you have problems just like everyone else. Same, like, we can relate on like completely. Our, you know, whatever's different and similar, we can relate to it, you know? Because I will say this, I was more nervous around girls in high school than I was in college.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So if you get together with your brother and sister now, are you guys like tight? Are you guys like three peas in a pod, just like goofing around? Like, you guys are just riffing off each other, like it's great?
I mean, honestly, it's a lot of watching movies, talking about stand-up and TV shows we're into, and like sharing music together. It's mm-hmm. very shared interest mm-hmm. based. My sister and I talk about our relationships together, and we can go deep on that. She, one of our biggest moments, so she moved to New York a couple years ago, and one of her first, like a month in, she called me at, it would have been like 2:30 a.m. their time, which is much earlier this time, and that's why she called me. Like in full panic attack mode, crying and breathing heavily and like barely able to talk. And she was at like an office party, and her friend got too drunk, and she was trying to make a good impression, but she had to take care of her friend. And it was like the first company party at her first career ever. And then she biked home, and she almost got hit by a car.
What?
And like nobody stopped to help her. And then she's like realizing she has no friends in New York. Aww. And so it was just like all these things came in at once. Wow. And it was just like her first panic attack ever. And her boyfriend lives in Boston, and so he was, like, asleep. It was 2:30 a.m., so she called me after him. And I, like, calmed her down and told her, like, a nice story about these kids that I work with and just, like, tried to, like, bring her out of that mental state. And Jesus. it was like, a really nice moment that I was able to do that for her, and that she called me, and that, like, I think we have those heavy moments every once in a while, but mainly it's just the comfort of being able to be completely casual with another person mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. not feel any single layer of insecurity. Like you're never uncertain about yourself or thinking that other. Which you only really get with family because you're around them so much.
That's awesome, man. Because there's a lot of people who don't have a relationship with their brother and sister. You know what I mean? Like, I know so many people where if something would happen to their brother or their sister, they would never call them for that situation. You know what I mean? They would just like, they would never know. They would never even know what happened. You know what I mean? If that ever happened to my sister, I would hope that she would call me. You know what I mean? That's great. And that goes to show that you guys have a great relationship. You know what I mean? And that keeping that integrity in a family is the most important thing, I think. I always talk about that.
And a lot of it
is important.
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of it is parenting, and a lot of it is luck, just personalities mm-hmm. not clashing, because some people, like, their personality types, they're just never going to get along. Mm-hmm. But we're lucky.
So you say that growing up in this sort of, like, idealistic childhood isn't the best thing to have for a writing career, but how did you transition into writing, and how did you incorporate this sort of mindset of writing a script, writing a story? you know, whether it's like about falling in love or being a kid or, you know, getting hurt, anything.
Yeah, it's not that you can't be a writer without the tragic past. It's just you pull from different areas and you don't have that raw, vulnerable experience, which, I mean, you can make that out of anything. I just saw, so the last, one of the last movies I saw in theaters was Eighth Grade by Bo Burnham.
Yeah, yeah, I heard it's great.
And like that, there's no, what's so great about that movie is there's no insane traumatic event that happens to her. It's just about the anxiety all the time of being 14 or 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And so you don't need that trauma, but... And so, yeah, you pull from something else. Or you pull, like, the first script I ever wrote, which is terrible, was just people, their first year of college. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, I had a twist. It was like, I wanted to do Undeclared by Judd Apatow meets, like, Hitchcock, which...
I think I read that one. Yeah,
it was so bad.
I liked it a lot.
It was just,
good.
Like, kids experiencing their first year of college... And then there were grad students that were like killing people on the side, and they were like neighbors.
Like an A story and a B story. Yeah, that was the only confusing part. The whole thing was a mess.
And because I just wanted to blend, because I love dark comedies, and so I wanted to blend like something that I would be able to pull on an actual experience of just the first year of college. Mm-hmm. With something that I admire in the art that I love, which is just like thriller.
All right, two questions. The first one is, what really inspires you to write what you write, and how do you get inspired to write? Is there like a procedure you do? I guess answer the first one first.
No, so it usually, I mean, it'll come from like a nugget of an idea. Mm-hmm. Usually it's hearing someone else's idea and then building upon it. Yeah, you like hear a certain small aspect on a podcast or you're reading a book. And you just expand on this tiny little detail in something.
You just start with a seed, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like having a dream or just, you know, divine inspiration coming to you. It's all, everything's derivative. You get a little bit of something from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then especially when you're first starting out as a writer, you pull from all of the artists that inspire you and all the movies you love and all the books you've read.
Yeah, for sure.
And you try and... put in your own experiences and put your own voice in it the best you can. And I'm sure starting out, like, half of it is, you know, stolen with a twist. And then, like, the more you write, the better you get at developing your own voice. But, yeah, usually it's just something small that you hear that intrigues you that you don't feel like has been a story yet, which is probably the most important.
When did you first realize that started happening to you? Like, when you're, like... When you first thought, I'm getting all these sort of these feelings of inspiration. How did you get into the idea of putting it on paper?
Yeah, I wish I could say that I've always felt that way, because I never had a diary as a kid or a journal or anything.
Yeah, neither did I.
And
because it was stupid,
I didn't. I remember writing. One of the first stories I ever wrote was probably like sophomore year of college, other than like assigned stories, you know, when I was just like, I was just in a class that I didn't care about and I was writing a story, and it just came from a name, Leonard Fisk, which I came up with, which is just like the most depressing.
Why does that sound familiar?
I might have mentioned this before because now I'm trying to make it into a script. Yeah. But originally it just came from like coming up with a name that sounded like the most depressing man ever.
That's kind of cool.
And I might still have a notebook where I just back, like, this was even before everyone had laptops in class, and I just have pages of pages in like blue Bic pen in a notebook about this guy. And but that's like one of the rare times where I actually did just come up with a story. Before I moved out to LA and decided I want to be a writer, lots of these, because before I wouldn't conceptualize cool ideas into turning it into my own story, because I didn't even think of that as a job that I could do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a journalist at first, and then I wanted to be a film critic, and then I wanted to be a writer of film. And so until I made that decision, I bet lots of those ideas that would pop in my head, like, oh, that sounds interesting, this could be something, just, you know, disappeared. And now, you know, I take out my phone and put it in my notes folder. But
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't part of my brain until I consciously chose that I wanted to, like, create stories.
And you, yeah, you seem like, what's good about you is that whenever you get a, whenever you figure out a story that you want to start writing, like, you start on it right away. Like, you'll just start, you'll hack away at it, you know? Well, and even if it's, yeah, even if you don't like what you're writing, you'll just write it. You'll write almost the whole script because you want there to at least be, like, the skeleton, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm definitely best at coming up with the beginning of stories. And when I come up with a new idea, that's the most exhilarating part of the whole process. Mm-hmm. But then the downside is the follow-through is that what I lack. Like, I'll push really hard for the first, like, month of this idea, but then I'll have a new idea and then switch onto that. Yeah. And just, like, that's why I have like, 4 finished scripts and, like, 20 half-written scripts.
Yeah,
because
that's the worst,
I just keep jumping to new idea, and then I get bored with one, or I can't think of an ending, and then I give up on it.
I'm sure that's everyone's problem. That's definitely my problem.
Yeah.
So I guess this can kind of segue into this same conversation, but what do you do that motivates you, what do you do that you can find inspiration? Like, do you have some sort of, like, mantra, or do you do, like, do you go for, like, a walk? You know, do you call a friend and you're just like, is there some sort of exercise or some sort of method that you do to help you inspire for writing? Are you like, okay, you know what? I there's this thing I like to do. I like to sit in the room and I like to read a book.
No,
or it just all comes randomly.
I wish I had any of that. For me, if I've, like, gone a week without writing, what will get me back in the spirit of it is I'll watch a really fucking good movie.
Yeah.
Like, if I watch something really good that was really well written, and then I'll, like, as soon as it's done,
it
even, like, halfway
you, yeah.
through, I'll be like, Jesus, this is why I want to do this.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
so good. I can't imagine, like, being the person who wrote this and putting it out there and having people like me watch it and be like, holy shit, this is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that almost always, if I need motivation, it comes from other people's art.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect segue to our next topic. So I like to ask the guest, what's the best film you've seen recently? What's your favorite film? And what's the worst film you've seen recently? Are you getting your Letterboxd out? Letterboxd. For those of you who don't know about Letterboxd, look it up.
Throw in a plug.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did. I plugged it last time.
Oh, really?
I'll mention it again. Letterboxd is amazing. It's a really cool website and app. It's basically Yelp for movie lovers. You get to...
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah, you know, that's...
You can keep a diary of all the movies. That's why I'm pulling up. You keep a diary of all the movies you've seen.
Yeah,
so
you can create pages where you keep diaries of all the films you've seen. You can make your favorite films. You can put them in categories of your favorite films, your favorite horrors, your favorite comedies. You can review every film you've ever seen. You can rate it. You can comment on it or comment on other people's reviews. It's like Facebook for Letterboxd.
They're not paying you yet, though. So
now.
So I already mentioned Eighth Grade. That's definitely the last phenomenal movie that I've seen.
For sure.
For so many reasons. I actually saw Bo Burnham on Melrose a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's way taller than you. Like, I'm 6'3", and he's like 2 inches.
Is he really?
Me.
Yeah, he's like tall and lanky.
And right before that, I saw The Killing of the Sacred Deer, I saw it on Netflix. That was way after it came out. But that
How was it?
A mind fuck.
Really?
Like,
I hear
it. You haven't seen it? I know we wanted to see it at some
point.
Well,
that director... We always talk about that director.
The Lobster
is great, and then you always tell me about Dogtooth, which I've never seen.
Which is another.
Do you own it, or is there a way that we can watch it at some point?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. It's pretty old at this point. But
I mean, I'll just like rent it on like Amazon.
You should.
Or
it's really fucked up.
All right, so check out Dogtooth, The Lobster, and Killing of a Sacred Deer. Who's the director? It's the same guy.
Yeah, that's Yorgos Lanthimos. It's like crazy.
Yeah, it's a.
And
European
then
dessert.
the one other one I'll mention that I saw a while ago that's been out is Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary.
Oh, yeah, it's adorable, isn't it?
It's so unbelievable. I've never cried more during a movie.
Yeah.
I was in a movie theater, and you can hear sniffles and people wiping tears away the entire time.
I'm gonna bust your balloon on this, or you pop your balloon on this one. But bust your balls. But I saw back-to-back documentaries. It was RBG and Won't You Be My Neighbor. And I think I enjoyed RGB.
What's our RGB?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, I didn't even know they did one.
Oh, it's really good.
Because they're doing a dramatization of that, too, with Felicity Jones that's coming out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, she's playing her
this
when
was
younger.
Just a documentary.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I actually enjoyed
it was
hers.
Better? Ugh.
You know what? That's I guess because
this
you know
was,
what was
one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
I and think it was. I think it was great. I will say it was amazing. But I was more moved by her because hers. I guess hers is like in the political field, and she did more with society than. No, I don't want to say that Mr. Rogers did, but I guess
Yeah, she definitely did.
Because yeah.
I mean,
also,
it's different.
Yeah,
realms,
it's a different perspective.
But...
Yeah, but no, I think he had a great story, and his film is beautiful. Yeah. What's like the worst, maybe like B movie,
oh, yeah. Well,
or just like a cheesy movie you've seen lately?
So I actually watched.
By the way, really quick, you know how last time we went to go see The Lost Boys at the Vista?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're interested, but tonight they're playing True Lies.
I haven't seen it.
It's such
and
a
I
good
want
movie.
To, and it's at midnight.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's up to you.
No, let's go. Yeah, that sounds
all right,
good.
We'll
yeah.
see. We'll see. We'll see where the night takes us. But
and
yeah.
I haven't seen it, so
it's a great movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, people have recommended it a lot.
Yeah. It's
one
a
of those
fun like 80 no
pretty much
90s,
the same
90s
vibe
action.
As Lost Boys.
Yeah. All right, but go ahead. What was it? What is it? I'm gonna get a beer. You go ahead and speak.
Oh yeah. Well, so this actually has a story behind it too. I watched Year One on Netflix this morning, and
that movie. That was a time where comedies were, like, really good. Remember, like, that was a time, I think even Pineapple Express came, you know, not that it was really good, but it was, like, those, it was kind of like those comedies that...
Where a bunch of Judd Apatows were coming
exactly.
out.
Exactly. So there were, it was, like, a hit or miss. Like, the only people that would enjoy them were, like, high school stoner kids.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Pineapple Express, I thought was
the
hilarious.
The big Apatow was, like, Knocked Up.
Exactly.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Was it Happy something with
Funny
Adam
People?
Sandler,
funny yeah, people. Funny People, which is pretty good,
which
actually.
Which was great.
Like yeah.
And
that's
then
got
Year
Bo
One
Burnham
was
too.
Coming out, and I was like, Michael Cera, just huge in the game right now, killing the game. Jack Black, we all love him. They had a bunch of co-stars.
Oh yeah, it had so
Paul
many.
Paul Rudd,
Paul Scheer, David Cross.
Every time. David Cross, yeah.
Yeah.
And man, what a trashy movie.
Well, so yeah, so the original.
What is Letterboxd rated? I'm interested.
Oh,
in this.
I'm sure it's super low. But I actually watched it, so I had never seen it, but I had always heard it was like one of the worst movies ever, And I actually, one of my biggest faux pas, so this was like senior year of college, and
one of the worst, that movie, that's so funny.
Well, one of my roommates came back to our place on his birthday, and he was with his girlfriend, and he was holding a DVD of Year One, and I hadn't even, this was probably like a year after it came out, and I hadn't even seen it before, but I just had read all of the terrible reviews, and I was just like, why do you have Year One? I heard that's the worst movie ever. And then he just says, Nicole got it for me. It's our favorite movie. She got it for him for his birthday. And it's our favorite movie.
Blink, blink.
And I was like, I'm sorry. I actually haven't even seen it. I just heard bad things.
Oh, that is
and
so funny.
I was at an age where I probably didn't care that much because you're just an asshole at a certain age.
That, you know, you're still like that. Like, I'll walk in somewhere randomly. And I'll be like, let's say I'm with Rachel, and you'd be like, what is your fucking shirt? Like, who wore stripes today? And yeah. I'll be like, Rachel got me this shirt. And you'll be like, that's kind of cute. It's kind of cute. Like, you still say shit like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I haven't learned a thing.
No, you haven't learned a goddamn thing.
But, and so that's kind of why I watched it today. And it, to be fair, it has some good jokes. Like, it definitely, it feels, yeah. So it's directed and written by Harold Ramis, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
But it feels like he's had the same sense of humor since the 80s. He's like Caddyshack. Ghostbusters.
What year did he? Because I know he passed away, right? He was the one of the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I think this was his last movie.
Yeah. Because he passed away like 2015 or something like
around there.
Yeah.
And so it does have some good jokes from him. And it feels like. Like a Simpsons episode could have done the same thing better. Mm-hmm. Like it's just the whole parody gets old,
I'm trying to think
and it's a lot of dated humor of like, sexist kind of homophobia thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's
it was
really
you know
bad.
What it felt like. It felt like one of those. You remember like this the scary movie genre?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like it was like, it was supposed to be taken as a serious film, but there was just, it was just a bunch of bits, you know, not a serious film, but it was as if like they were trying to make it into a serious comedy.
Maybe.
But it was just all bits, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely felt sketches to sketches.
Remember Bill Hader as like the
yeah,
the
yeah,
voodoo?
Bill Hader's in blackface. Yeah, this was way too old for Bill Hader to be in blackface.
And you don't even recognize it's him.
And in the bloopers, he does like a black guy's voice.
Hey, what are you?
Yeah, he does like Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.
So how do you think they
and
got
then
away
they clearly,
with that?
Well,
with
then
the
they clearly
Downey
took
thing.
Away the voice. Well, because Robert Downey Jr., it's like meta, right?
Do you think it's
I haven't
because,
seen that in forever, but...
Oh,
it's
like, actually a great movie.
I know, but
I love
isn't he...
Tropic Thunder.
It's like consciously offensive. Like he's supposed to be being offensive in the movie.
I don't
right?
know. I think so.
Because he's an actor playing an actor with blackface.
I get that, but how did they still allow it? You know what I mean? Like even if it's like, oh, it's okay, it's a bit, how do they still like, no, I don't care?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's a comment on it. So
like imagine if they would do that today. Like people would be like, no. If that was like a like how Disney owns everything, what if Disney owned like Ben Stiller Productions? You know what I mean? Like they'd be like, no.
I mean, if it's a rated R movie and it's like, because he's commenting on, like, the year one was way worse that it was just a white guy playing, like, mm-hmm. a black shaman person.
Yeah, he was like a voodoo. Because
this was like an actor playing an actor doing blackface. I don't think that was as bad.
Yeah, I guess they pulled it off. So, yeah, there's, like, I don't know, man. There was a lot of good movies around that time. Like, I did like Tropic Thunder a lot. I thought it was a really funny movie. Pineapple Express was great. I still like, quote that movie a lot.
You know what I'm excited about? Have you seen the trailer for Old Man and the Gun?
It does look good.
Robert Redford's last movie with Sissy Spacek, and it's by David Lowery. Have you seen?
Is he a playwright?
No, he's the director. Have you seen Ain't Them Body Saints or A Ghost Story?
Yes, I know.
And
yes,
he did Pete's
yes.
Dragon, which
yeah,
was
yeah.
like a kid's
that's
movie, but it was
why,
fine. But I'm
that's
rude.
Why,
what's he's
his
my
name
favorite
is
director
it?
Right now.
Affleck.
Yeah, yeah. That's
what do you think about him? Like, what do you like? I know,
yeah,
like, I'm, we,
I know
me and Rachel,
loaded,
Rachel
but...
and I talked about it in our last podcast because I was talking about Tracy Letts, who wrote Manchester by the Sea, because he's a great writer
and
I think.
An actor, right?
He's an actor too, yeah, but yeah, I knew him in college because he's a wonderful playwright and he's written a lot of great plays.
Did stuff come about him too?
No, I'm just saying that we were talking about plays and I was like, Tracy Letts is a great playwright. He's known more theatrically for Manchester by the Sea, and she said, boo. And I was like, no, but it's a good...
Because of Casey
Affleck. And I was like, that's right, well, Casey Affleck, like, yeah. So what's, like,
well,
how do you think that he's still working as
well,
opposed
to... Well, I don't know enough about that, but from what I remember hearing, it was never any, like... I mean, this is dangerous territory.
No,
but I feel
no,
like
whatever.
It wasn't anything, like, illegal. It was more, like, He didn't...
Yeah,
it wasn't assault. It was, like, harassing
know, it's
people.
It's just strange, man.
It was... I think it was more creepy than, like... way over the line, but I know it's weird that I mean because I think he's just that director's guy, like he's been in all of his movies and so,
but the only reason why I bring it up
like
is because
he's not caring about the other one doing anything wrong.
Exactly. The reason why I bring it up is because an actor like him is in it, there's going to be a lot of people who will not even go see that movie. There's probably gonna be people boycotting it who'd be like, don't go see this movie. I don't
and it is the
this.
Kind of indie movie where they are the people who care about that.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though. It does look like a great movie.
I think
Robert Redford deserves
this, too.
That
fades away. That like
oh, for sure. For sure.
That people just stop caring or that his transgressions weren't enough.
Speaking about Affleck.
Get him kicked out.
What about Ben Affleck?
I've never really liked Ben Affleck. I never saw him as Batman, but I wasn't going to see those movies anyways. But
yeah.
I don't think I've liked him
I've seen
since
him. They're
Good
not,
Will Hunting.
I will say this. He's not the worst Batman. He's not terrible. He's not great.
Who is?
He's
not better than Clooney or Keaton or Bale.
He's not better than Clooney? They're all better than Clooney.
I guess I haven't seen it, so I can't say. But from the trailer... Like, the two lines he says in the trailer are god-awful.
No, yeah. You know,
and there's no
he's not
personality
terrible,
or charisma
but I'm very
at all.
Biased when it comes to, like, superhero films. But let's transition to that real quick, because you just started getting to, like, the Marvel Universe. I don't want to get too deep into it, because we can go on this for hours. But the two questions I want to ask you is, what do you think about... this isn't Marvel. This is just superhero. Did you hear Joaquin Phoenix is going to play the Joker?
Oh, Joker, right?
Yeah, yeah. Directed by Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
And Robert De Niro is going to be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sounds pretty good, man. That sounds like
connection
a
connection from, wasn't he Two-Face? Oh, no, that was Nicholson.
That was Nicholson. Yeah. No, and then he wasn't,
yeah, no,
it wasn't Two-Face. He was the Joker.
He can't be, Oh, yeah, Tommy Lee Jones was Two-Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he can't be worse than, what's his name?
Jared Leto.
Yeah, Jared Leto. Terrible. But the whole movie, that was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
They're making a sequel.
I mean, it made a ton of money.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
That's true. Also, Tom Hardy's Venom. Have you seen any of the trailers?
No. Yeah, of course.
I haven't. I don't want to see
anything. Oh, really?
I don't want to see
anything. I'm sure it'll
be
amazing.
I'm sure it'll be great.
I hope so. I don't know who the director is, though. Is he famous?
I mean, he must be. But... he's a Brazilian director, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah. But the thing is that they were for so long they were debating making it a rated R movie. You know, getting,
oh, it's not. I assumed it was.
No, I think they're backing it into PG-13 because they essentially wanted to merge it into the Spider-Man movie,
which is a new one. Or?
Yeah, Thomas.
Oh right, yeah.
Thomas Middle. No, that's Loki. Who's the kid that plays Spider-Man?
No, you're thinking Tom of Hiddleston.
Hiddleston? Yeah, Tom Hiddleston, right?
No, yeah, that's Loki.
That was one of your favorite
Holland,
Marvel movies.
Tom Holland,
yeah.
Which one? Thor Ragnarok was my favorite.
Well, one of them I'm saying like top five is Spider-Man up there. That you really
liked the new
Spider-Man movie.
That was fantastic.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't my favorite.
My favorite part of it is that
I would say Ragnarok probably wasn't my favorite either.
But that was because Taika Waititi is
one of your favorite directors. Yeah.
But Spider-Man Homecoming, it got to the heart of what Spider-Man is, which he doesn't like save the world. He's the friendly neighborhood
Spider-Man.
And this was like a low-key villain who's not trying to destroy the world or... Mm-hmm. You know, kill half the population of anything. He's just trying to,
He's just trying to get rich
and, like, take his daughter to prom. And
I don't think he's trying to get rich. He's just trying to
get... Yeah, he's trying to sell weapons. That's the whole thing. He's just trying to steal weapons and sell... Yeah, the Vulture or whatever.
Spider-Man. I was like, what is Spider-Man trying to get rich?
I think he got the wrong story. He's just trying to get paid. No, it was funny and casual. It was so much better than
I love most the playfulness of having him away from the city, where he goes to throw the web and it just goes into nothing.
Yeah, and him like running to the treehouse. I love that. Yeah, he's like a high schooler. He's stupid and he's figuring it out. That's so much better than a crazy sequence of CGI hitting each other.
And he's
like
a
throwing
kid,
shields
like he's
around
a child. You know what I mean?
I know. And that friend was hilarious.
Yeah,
his chubby friend.
Yeah.
So that was a really good movie.
What do you think of this? I don't know if you've heard of it, but the sequel is called Spider-Man Away From Home because it's supposed to be Spider-Man in Europe. They want to basically take him outside of New York City, put him in a foreign country, and then he's going to be...
I could see that being funny, like a fish out of water type situation. I don't know why they would do it. I'm sure there's some comic series that did
it,
and they're basing off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on board.
All right, cool.
I like that. He's a great Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good.
So, favorite Marvel movie, I guess, Ragnarok?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, Spider-Man 2 was really good. That's not in the universe. But
oh, with
Tobey Maguire. Those first two were really good. That's with
Doc
Ock, Alfred Molina. That was great. That was a really good movie.
Yeah,
I think The Dark Knight is still my favorite superhero movie of all time, though.
Dark Knight is great. It's on Netflix now.
And Logan is better than Thor Ragnarok, too, but that's not part of the universe. But I think Logan's actually my favorite.
Yeah, I give it to the MCU, But
it's not, though.
No, I'm saying I guess it's not part of the MCU. That's true. But so best superhero movie, definitely Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah, well, hands down.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan is unbelievable.
Mine's is probably...
I just rewatched Inception for the first time.
Yeah.
A long time.
Still holds up.
Yeah. Although the script, early on, the dialogue is pretty terrible because it's just people explaining the whole universe the whole time. Like, every scene is just people explaining how
this all works.
Is
that important when you first watch the movie, though?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and when you're watching it for the first time, you don't care because you're actually interested and you need to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the plot kicks in, you forget about it and it's just all so exciting and cool.
Mm-hmm.
But the second time, you just realize, like, Leo is just, like, talking to the camera, like, explaining everything that's happening. But then again, once the plot kicks in, you don't care anymore because it's so fun to watch.
All right, before we move on to the next subject, we're almost at an hour already. I guess we're going to go a little overboard here. Really quick, because since you know so many great shows, what's a show right now you want to promote that you love or any show that you've seen recently? Or just any show?
The last new show that is very good is Killing Eve, which I might have told you about. BBC America.
Yes, you did tell me.
Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer. Comer, I think I want to say her name. Mm-hmm. She's British. That is fantastic. It's by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, created it, who did Fleabag.
Oh, yeah, Fleabag's great.
Yeah, and she's a playwright. She's
Did you see her, that actress in Solo? Did you watch Solo?
No, I didn't. She's the robot.
She plays the android,
right?
Yeah. She's pretty cool.
That movie, I just had no interest in seeing.
No one saw it, man. That's the thing. It was just crazy.
I didn't like that actor as Solo.
They did it. The two highlights of that movie,
Lando, right? Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. And just seeing like a young like
just
version.
the idea of it.
The idea, you know what I mean?
So Killing Eve is amazing. I can recommend two things at once. I just watched Hannah Gadsby's stand-up special, Nanette. Have you seen that yet?
Yes, it's very, very powerful,
epic.
Man. Holy moly. I did not know that's where it was going. Because they advertise it just like it's a stand-up.
It's not really stand-up.
It's not.
It's something totally different,
revolutionary. Do you think people are on board with it?
Yeah. I mean, it got a tiny backlash from
That's what I was worried about. People are going to be like, what the hell is this? This isn't comedy. I'm like, no, I don't think it's supposed
it's like a public address.
It's quite fantastic.
But she's in a TV show called Please Like Me, an Australian TV show that's over now, but that is very, very good. And I think it was recently added to Netflix. About created by like a 21-year-old, or maybe he's older when he created it, but
God damn it.
About I know it's really frustrating because it's really good too, and he writes it and stars in it, and it's about his like coming out process.
Wow,
and it's hilarious, and it has like his mother's suicide is a big factor in it, and it's so it's dramatic. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah, this is when you wish you had more drama in your life to be more.
No, because he is just writing his own experience. Like I think he's very funny and smart, obviously, but he's like writing exactly what happened to him. At least at the start of the first season, probably.
Why don't I plan a secret kidnapping? And I'll just kidnap you and torture you for like 5 days.
Yeah, well, I think I told you about this last time. There's a French show called it's like crime noir, dark crime or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about two writers who have a very unsuccessful like Law and Order type show in France.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about to get canceled. And to like bring the ratings up, they start to commit actual crimes to like throw themselves into it.
That's like Get Shorty, isn't it? Isn't it Get Shorty like kind of like he... In order to get his movie his finances in order, like his
a little bit. I think in Get Shorty, he's like already a gangster,
and he
wants to write about his experiences.
He intimidates people to like do the job,
basically
get his job done or something.
But this is very like fish out of water. These totally like normal, straight laced guys start like little baby steps, a little more at a time, and they get involved in like a whole crime world, and it's pretty good actually.
When it comes to like film. Writing, you know, when it comes to like storytelling, what are the certain things that you are attracted to?
My favorite is
and I know it changes, you know what I mean, but like right now
I don't know if it changed that much. My favorite is definitely dark comedy
for sure. I'm the same. Me too.
My favorite movie, I'm not saying it's the best movie I've ever seen, but my favorite that I wish I had written is In Bruges by Martin McDonagh.
That was good.
That was nice. Because it's that perfect blend of people not making light, but like still being funny people in very dramatic situations. Mm-hmm. And so that's my favorite genre. I also I do like rom coms. Mm-hmm. The last one I saw, Set It Up, on Netflix was really good with
Rachel loved it actually.
Yeah, with Zoe. I tell her to see it? I think I might have told her to
maybe
watch it.
She was going through like a rom-com week last year. So, like she went from watching like The Setup to All the Boys I Loved to Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh yeah, I still
which is great, also great. But that's cool. Yeah, rom-coms are fun, man. A lot of people get
but
them
I would
shit.
Never I don't think I'd ever write them, but yeah. I don't know, I like dark comedies the most, but I think I have fairly democratic taste. I kind of watch anything that's well written.
How do you like a lot of these new a lot of these comedies that are female leads, like, now I'm saying, like, come on, we're
how
two,
do you like these
we're,
women?
We're two guys. Hey, what do you think these women taking out jobs?
Trying
like,
to be funny.
Like, how do you like Amy Schumer's style? How do you like Melissa McCarthy's style? How do you like Kristen Wiig's style? Like, how do you think?
Well, no, I love Melissa McCarthy. I wish she didn't do so many bad movies.
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, because a lot of the movies she does, it's her and her husband are writing it.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
I was about to say like that the writing
one,
is bad.
The last, yeah. The last one she did was...
Yeah, the puppet thing is getting
the puppet one was
kind of
cheesy. But that was literally, what's
those
his
two
name?
Writing it?
What's happened?
What? Those two wrote that one?
No, that was actually, who's the guy? Who's the puppet guy? The main, from like the...
Not Jeff Dunham.
No, like the Muppets. Who's the guy who did the Muppets?
Jim Henson?
Henson, yeah. I think it was like his brother or his cousin who wrote it.
Oh, that makes sense. That's nepotism.
Yeah, but like the, what was the one that she did where she went back to college? Life of the Party?
Yeah,
like
see,
that was
I didn't
her,
see that,
her
but
husband,
I, heard it was
I think, wrote
better.
And directed it.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I love when she works with Paul Feig. Mm-hmm. I love all those movies. And I'm
is that
really
the
excited. Yeah, and
I liked the new
Spy
Ghostbusters.
And Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
All
a lot
those
of people
ones.
Hated the new Ghostbusters. I thought it was really charming. Yeah. I thought it was really fun. It was cute. It was funny. I actually thought it was hilarious. I thought it was really good.
I'm very excited about... Shit, I might have to look it up. She's doing a new movie. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm not trying to say like, let's talk about how these women are taking, you know. No, I appreciate everything they're doing. I love everything they're doing. I want to know your take on like these new like boss women that are in Hollywood right now.
Can you forgive me? She's coming out in the fall. That looks like that's the one. Have you seen a trailer for this where she plagiarizes?
Oh yes, this was a serious.
Or no,
film,
she doesn't even plagiarize. She pretends to be someone else, but like mm-hmm. writes her own words into
exactly,
it. And that
yeah.
looks really good.
Yeah,
I
looks
hope
great.
It pulls it off.
Yeah, yeah. Because she's at the end of the day, she's a great actress. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of Amy Schumer's work? Are you a fan of her?
I'm a fan of her acting. I love Trainwreck. Mm-hmm. I don't love her stand-up, although I did like a lot of her sketches from her show.
Oh, yeah.
That 12 Angry Men homage was so...
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, really? Where it was they were debating whether she's hot enough to be on TV. And it was very... And it had John Hawkes. Like, it had a bunch of big actors.
That's
the
great thing about
Chris
Amy
Schumer
is that she's very... Like, she brings the truth to... Like reality, you know what I mean? Like, just saying how.
Yeah, she
how
brings
of,
the truth
yeah,
to
how,
reality.
Yeah,
sure.
Wow. All right, this is when you start to make fun of me because you're an asshole. Like, how a lot of, you know, comedians, they don't really, you know, a lot of male comedians, they were the only ones for so long who kind of did their comedy, like, right on the surface. Like, they were vulnerable, all this. They brought everything to the light, you know? Like, I think Key and Peele were very good at that stuff. I think people like, I don't know, Seth Rogen maybe, like he was like, laugh at my ugliness. He was like, this is real life. It's okay to laugh at it. Amy Schumer was like, she wasn't scared to really show her true colors.
Yeah. And also like, it's more powerful when she does it. Cause Seth mm-hmm. Rogen, I feel like it's not really him being vulnerable. Like it's just him being like a stoner bro. Like talking about
saying, like,
being
a girl couldn't do his style comedy. You know what I mean? Cause it would be like vulgar. But when she does it with like, she's like, she commits to it. And she's like, she's a good, strong actor and comedian that she can, she's like, I'm like, that's, it proves that everyone can use these skills. You know what I mean? No matter who you are, there doesn't have to be like a stereotype when it comes to like comedians these days. Everyone can do this. Everyone can be funny. Everyone can make people laugh. Because comedy, at the end of the day, it's a visceral sort of like it comes from the heart, and I think everyone should be able to do this thing if they are funny, and I think she proves that, you know, to society.
Yeah, and what's great is they're all coming at it from their own perspectives, mm-hmm. which are radically different than what we've had of the straight white male constantly being the number one stand-up, and so
yeah.
there's a new perspective. That we haven't seen as much. That's what was so great about Hannah Gadsby's Nanette.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Is that they don't have to fit into the mold that's been popular already. Now they can do their own thing and people are responding. Yeah, I just got into Eliza Schlesinger. She's really good for the first time.
I haven't seen it, but yeah.
I like
she
her
seems
a lot.
It's funny. If you can pick a... Whenever you see a trailer or a poster for a movie, whether it be... Woman, man, comedian, like a drama actor, who's an actor that when you're like, oh, I got to see this movie, like you love this actor, you know?
My first instinct was Rooney Mara, without a doubt. That's one of the few where I've seen terrible movies that she's in.
Which one's, who's she? I can't think of her.
Rooney Mara, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, she is great. Yeah.
And Ain't Them Body Saints. And she does Ghost Story. She did some David Lowery
but
stuff.
But she also does a lot of B movies. Oh, no. I'm thinking someone else. I'm thinking.
Yeah, she does. Two girls she's that there, did the yeah, Dragon Kate Tattoo. Mara. You're thinking of Kate Mara.
Yeah.
Her sister.
That's her sister?
Yeah. And their parents. One of their parents owns the Giants, and the other one owns the Steelers.
The baseball team?
No, the football teams.
Oh, I'm thinking, who are the Giants? Whatever. I don't watch
No, football. San Francisco might have Giants, too. But, yeah, or maybe it's one of their grandparents and the other grandparents.
They come from,
they come from
a good,
amount of
big
money.
Family.
But Rooney does a lot of more of the indie stuff, and Kate does more LeMaitre. Like, she was in Mark Wahlberg's The Shooter, or what, The Shooter, or whatever.
Yeah.
But she, I will see everything she's in, without a doubt.
I haven't seen a lot of her films, to be honest.
Yeah, it's more, she was in one, she does like Terrence Malick movies, and I think her and probably Ryan Gosling.
Oh, he's great, yeah, I do like, I think someone was asking me the other day, like, who's your...
Which, that's a lot easier of a pick, like, everyone, how can
that's
you not
like
Ryan Gosling,
I remember
Gosling,
someone
you know?
Was like, who's like an inspirational actor, like, who do you go for like inspiration? I'm like, I know it sounds like a cliche, but I love me some Ryan Gosling. I think he's incredible.
A more indie pick is probably Ben Mendelsohn. Do you know him?
He sounds familiar. I'm sure I've known him. What's a movie he's in?
So, Mississippi Grind. Mississippi Grind. You might have seen with Ryan Reynolds, where they're like gamblers.
Oh,
he's the older guy.
He's in the Rogue One.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Yeah. No, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wait, what is he? He's he's with Reynolds in
Mississippi Grind.
No. I'm sorry, Gos.
Oh yeah,
Gosling,
yeah.
In with that motorcycle movie, he's like,
Thunder in the Pines or something.
Place Beyond the Pines.
Place Beyond the Pines.
He was good in that one too.
Yeah, he's amazing in everything. My favorite movie of his is called Starred Up, which is and Jake O'Connell, Jack O'Connell.
He is great. I do
from
like him a lot.
Skins, mm-hmm. And
he's going a lot. He's doing a lot of blockbusters though right now.
Yeah, well, because he's breaking free, and he was in that. He was in Bloodline. And in that
that's
amazing
right. That's
role.
Where,
yeah,
that
was, that
like
was
his
probably
breakout.
His big, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, but then once, spoilers, once he's like not in it, which I mean, he kind of is with flashbacks and stuff.
Dies off. Bloodline.
But I did not care at all once he wasn't a major
because
character.
Because they brought him back in flashbacks.
Right.
It wasn't
and
the same.
No, I know. Yeah, I think I watched the first two seasons or something, but once he
pretty
was gone,
show.
It was fine because of him. He was so good. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, he's in Startup, which is a prison movie where he's the dad and his son are in the same prison together.
Wow.
And it's really
talk about daddy
gritty,
daycare.
Really gritty British drama where you like can't understand half the words they're saying because their
that's
accents are so
thick. That's what blew my mind
too,
that I found out he was an English actor.
Yeah.
I had no idea. The funny thing is when he talks with an American accent, it sounds genuine. But when he talks with an English accent, it sounds like he's doing an accent.
That's all the first thing you see him in. You know, if you hear him for the first time when he's American, then you're like, what is he doing right now?
Yeah.
But if it's the opposite, then you're like, but he does do, his accent and Bloodline is phenomenal. Like
it's
the
perfect.
Florida Keys. And what you would know more than anyone else.
Well, I mean, it's just a normal American accent, you know? You know, the Keys doesn't have like a lingo or anything.
There's no Florida accent? I feel like he was doing a specific Florida.
Maybe it's a little like, country, it's a little like, yeah, you know.
It felt specifically
maybe.
Southern, like not just Southern, but like from
but
a
the
region.
Keys, isn't, that's not really the Keys. They probably just picked like a Floridian, like Southern accent. Because I'm from Florida. I grew up in like near the Keys.
Yeah, that's why I figured you would.
But also I went to theater school, so that's why I sound like I grew up in Midwest.
I know, I don't have an accent either. Like, well, Southern Minnesota, you don't really get it. It's up in the north where they all talk
we
about
sound
Canadians.
Like generic, just normal white people.
Very completely. And it's not like a put on. This is just how I always talk. Like Ryan Gosling, that's a fake accent. So he's Canadian, and he...
You're not telling me he goes around being like, so this is how I really talk, eh?
No, but he developed a Marlon Brando-esque like tone of speaking when he wanted to start acting, and then it just became how he talked all the time. He's like talked about it on talk shows.
Well, then how do you know how he really talks? Because he,
I don't think anyone's ever heard it. I mean, unless you like grew up with him,
you know,
like he literally changed how he speaks.
Yeah, but everyone kind of does.
No, I know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just it's interesting. It's cool.
Because I mean,
and
like
he has a great voice. He sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not the way he speaks. It's the rhythm that he speaks in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the tone.
Because the sound of his voice is, I'm sure, the same, but it's the rhythm and the way he uses his words and the way he says his sentences.
Now that you'll hear the Brando-esque in his voice next time you hear him talk.
I would have to know Brando a little bit more.
You don't know Brando?
I know Brando, but I'd have to, like, when I think Brando, I just think of, like,
The Godfather.
The Godfather, like, Apocalypse Now. Like, I can't.
Yeah, you gotta see, like, On the Waterfront, then you'll know.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to books. I know we talked about movies for so long. I just love film. I know you do too. But let's talk about more. Let's talk about the writings of people.
Yeah.
Anything you've been reading lately that you want to talk about?
I was reading last night, but I was rereading my favorite novel, which is Island by Aldous Huxley.
The Island with Ewan McGregor and
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah.
Michael Bay.
Yeah.
One of Michael Bay's, like...
His book is actually based on that movie. It's like a novelization of the movie.
Is it really?
No, he's been dead for, like, decades.
I don't know that.
No, it's about this guy who gets stranded on the island, and it's basically like this utopia, and it's just the author's opportunity to, like, describe how people should live. Like, mm-hmm. This is just the perfect utopia as far as, like... child rearing and education and relationships and drug use, and it's very, very good. And I reread it a lot.
They're even okay with drug use, but like at a
they
certain...
do like they like they take they like eat mushrooms as a ritualistic type thing.
Yeah, and that's still minds. Practiced in certain.
Yeah, and cultures. he's pretty into drugs because we were talking about right before the podcast. Where he took mescaline and just wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Brave New World is all about. Sedation and mm-hmm. soma and taking drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the last. I mean, we were also talking about Gentleman in Milan.
No, A Gentleman in Moscow.
Oh yeah. Gentleman in Milan is a piece of art I have in my room.
You're so cultured.
No, but it's not even that cool because it's one of the first things I bought in like college because I thought I was cool, but it's just. It's this painting of, like, two guys who think they're really cool, and mm-hmm. one has, like, his jacket slung over his shoulder, and they're both just, like, staring off in the distance in Milan, and it just, like, it's the kind of thing where, like, you're trying to be cool, but you're not quite there yet, and that's the kind of thing you would get for yourself.
I like to think that you got that, because you're like, this is the story I want to explain them. To every girl when she comes over my apartment.
About that? About not thinking I'm cool?
Yeah, and she'll think you're so sweet and, like, modest and whatever. And you're like, oh, this is so cool that you have this poster. This poster tells your story in one picture. Anyways,
no, I think
what's
I do
your bed like?
Yeah, that was my go-to, like,
sophomore and junior
of college was, yeah. My friends still make fun of it because the line was, do you want to go see my posters? Yeah, and at that point they're not framed or anything.
Hey, do you want to go see my posters? Room. That's just the line to get girls. You want to see my posters?
And that was, I don't know if that was before Netflix. That might have been before Netflix. I don't know.
You're in college?
Yeah.
Yeah, Netflix was a thing already. Well, you're 28.
It was in 2010. This would have been, and I don't know if online Netflix was a
Netflix
big
was a thing.
Yet.
By like 2011 or 2010.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Because so it wasn't like, do you want to go hang out and watch Netflix?
It was, you know what it was? It was still only DVD rentals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It became like streaming by like 2011, 2012. Because when I was in college, like my junior year was like 2012, 2013, and I was watching Netflix in my apartment.
Yeah.
So I know for sure you could stream it.
No, I bet it was freshman year. I remember watching The Office freshman year in my dorm.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, my go-to line was, do you want to go and see my posters? Which...
That's so funny.
When you look back, that's just so stupid.
Well, as you can tell,
so
I'm also one to, like, decorate. You know what I mean?
Just the word posters and talking about wanting, like, to show... Because it's the kind of thing where, like... If you're really cool, you don't
was it more
say,
about
come
her,
look at these things.
Was it more about getting someone into
yeah,
your
oh,
room?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Or was it because you really wanted to show them your poster?
No, it was to get them into your room to close the door. But just the fact that I thought that was okay of
and
a
every
pickup
time they
line,
were like, yes.
Well, because it was one of those understandings where they knew that's what was happening. And it was just the line of because course. My roommates were sitting on the couch in the living room. So you have to say something while you're like walking up the stairs.
It's funny,
and you're
too,
because
I feel like every time they responded, you would say, hey, you want to go see my posters? And every time they responded with, yeah, I, okay,
sure. Yeah, that would have been hilarious.
Sure, I guess I'll go see your posters.
And I'm sure that's what they were feeling on the inside, whether they articulated it or not, was this guy is not cool.
What were you like in college? What type of college kid were you? You can give me the PG version.
Well, no, I changed a lot because I...
If you
think I definitely settled into my personality a bit,
mm-hmm.
and kind of figured out how to be comfortable with myself and not try so hard.
What did you study in college?
I did English and journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of, you know, reading and writing essays
mm-hmm.
in libraries. So it was a great time. I went to Madison, Wisconsin, so like always the number one party school, but
mm-hmm.
It was
everyone says it about their college. It's the number one party school.
Yeah, but we're like on lists.
Okay, well, but who's one of your favorite authors? I would say, I guess, right now.
Well, yeah, Aldous Huxley is my favorite of all time. I love Donna Tartt a lot, and she hasn't written much.
Not to be confused with Donatello, the Ninja Turtle.
No, who I also love. Which weapons did he have?
Donatello had, I think, the nunchucks.
Yeah, no, he wasn't my favorite.
He was the
I like the one who had the two short swords.
That was Leonardo.
Yeah, I like Leonardo the most. Mm-hmm.
He was the leader.
But Donna Tartt did The Goldfinch and Secret Friend and the one at the college, which I probably...
The three swords, the thingy? Or are you talking about
the actual
sword?
Yeah, the small blades where they're little...
Oh, no, that's...
Raphael?
That's Raphael.
Oh, yeah.
The one with the actual swords, that's Leonardo.
Well, didn't he just have one, or did he have two long swords?
He had two long
swords. Oh, I like both those guys.
Okay, yeah. And then the staff was...
Which was the dumb one with the orange bandana?
That's Donatello.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't like him.
And then the staff was Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael. Who am I missing?
Michelangelo?
That was Michelangelo.
Did they call him... What they call him, Michael? Or did they
Mike.
Actually say...
Yeah, Mike!
Yeah.
Yeah. Be... Go ahead.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Donna Tartt. Just... Yeah. She's great. Check
cool.
her out. I mean, she's pretty famous, but, and she's only, what's great is you can read her entire bibliography. That's not the right word, but. Her,
autobiography?
No. Her entire.
Biography.
Everything she's written. What's the word for that? Her entire canon? I don't know.
Her resume.
Like four books.
Sure.
But they're all phenomenal. Yeah, recently I've been doing a lot of comics and graphic novels,
mm-hmm.
honestly. A lot of indie Image comics, and mm-hmm. which now is all...
Image comics is great.
They're all becoming TV shows. I'm like was reading Lock and Key, and now Carlton Cuse is doing a show about that.
But how can they make Image comics into a TV... Like, I feel like Image comics are probably the most avant-garde out of like the comic books.
Well, they're like super popular, though. Mm-hmm. They're like indie... Because they're all, like, mature and
mm-hmm.
unknown.
Yeah,
but
they're like the rated R version of
But that's
books.
Why they can make it into TV shows and movies, because no
people,
one knows
people,
about
it. Yeah,
yeah they're also, doing Why the Last Man. It. Although that's not Image, that's Vertigo. But, yeah, Vertigo and Image they're doing a lot with.
Yeah, they have a great series called Saga? How would you say that?
It's Saga, like a saga.
Yeah, because it's like Tomato Tomato. Sometimes I say like...
What?
Oh.
No one says Sega.
Sega?
That's Sega Genesis.
Yeah, okay, it's Saga. Okay, never mind. I'm wrong.
But yeah, Saga, I don't know if that'll ever be a show, though. That's too...
It's like way too hard.
Opera.
Yeah, it's so hard to do. Yeah, Image is great. And
oh, they have a really good... Did I tell you about it last time? They have a great comic called Sex Criminals about a couple who stop time when they orgasm.
Oh, yeah, you did
say,
yeah,
and they,
funny.
Like, start robbing banks.
But how long does time stop for?
The time is stopped for their refractory period.
But do they have to orgasm at the same time? Is that
so?
How it
yeah,
works?
That's they have to come simultaneously to be in that world together. Because if the guy comes early, then he's just there by himself.
That's so funny.
And as soon as they're like ready to have sex again, that's when time speeds up again.
Wow.
And it starts out as just like a fun, jokey, you know, Robin Banks and the high concept of it. But then it gets really deep into intimacy and their relationship
of
and
course,
depression
yeah.
and he's got like a bunch
of issues.
I was
gonna say, because that can get really tricky.
And it's not like it starts out very high concept to hook people, and then it becomes much more low concept and just about like the time travel becomes tertiary at
mm-hmm.
a certain point, and it's
mm-hmm.
more just about these people and trying to them
yeah.
trying to be people.
Speaking of Image, they're coming out with a new Spawn movie. Because they
that's
they
one
were,
I never read.
Yeah, well, because it was from like the 90s,
and it's like there's like 550
yeah,
issues.
Yeah, but yeah. The, it's gonna be Jamie Foxx. Fox. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's talk about music real quick. Let's try to get to the end here real quick. I love music. I think music is a.
You love music?
I'm one of the few.
That is so cool.
I'm
of
one of the few who like music. You know what? All jokes aside, have you talked to like your family members, like baby boomers? Because I have like family members who don't like I've talked to like
don't like music
who just don't really care, like who are like, what's your favorite band? I don't really have one. Like my dad, I remember one time. I think my dad's favorite band. I think he'll probably say like AC/DC or something like that. But I remember one time I brought the Beatles home. And I was like, Dad, how come you never introduced me to the Beatles? They're great. And he was like, yeah, I never really liked the Beatles. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And there's certain people who just don't really care for...
Yeah, I think my brother's a little bit like that. He'll like it just on the radio, but he doesn't, you know, have Spotify or I was lucky my dad is the one who got me into music and bought me my first records.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Which were very cool. There was The Strokes and Interpol. He like
wow,
took me,
those are perfect.
Yeah, he got
yeah.
me like two.
Which Strokes album?
It was Room on Fire.
Perfect.
And Antics by Interpol. And yeah, I still yeah. love them. They're amazing.
You know, I haven't listened to a lot of Interpol, though.
They're good.
How
they're
would you,
good.
How would you describe them?
It's very similar to The Strokes, except a little less accessible.
Grunge?
No, a little more... I don't know. I don't want to say punk, but a little less easy listening.
Because I remember discovering The Strokes when I was like in high school, and I used to watch them on MTV, and they were great.
Yeah, that song 1251 mm-hmm. stuck with me a lot. Yeah. I used to listen to that on repeat all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
But he introduced me to one of my favorite bands, The Mountain Goats, who were still both
you showed me the Mountain
very
Goats, yeah.
obsessed with John yeah. Darnielle.
Yeah.
And
very 70s or 60s.
No, he taught me Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. Like, a lot of weird bands that you need to have someone you trust introduce
yeah.
them to.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. Someone
they
that
have weird
knows
voices.
Your style. Yeah.
And, no, he got... Because I love weird... I love Bob Dylan and, yeah, Mountain Goats and Clap Your Hands. They all have weird mm-hmm. voices. Yeah, and now still, Mountain Goats, The National, and Dylan are my favorite bands. And Velvet Underground probably are my top.
Velvet Underground's great,
my
yeah.
top guys.
Yeah, those are all great choices, man. So I guess you would kind of go towards alternative folk genre.
Yeah, I like lyric focused music mm-hmm. a lot,
mm-hmm.
Where it has an actual story to it. That's
we
why
were, you were here.
I definitely
the
listen
day.
To Bob Dylan more than anyone else. But
well, we were listening to. You were a big fan of Tillerman. Tinker the what is it?
Yeah, Cat Stevens. Yeah,
Cat Stevens,
T for the
yeah.
Tillerman's great. Album.
Yeah, that's a good album.
But it's another one where I don't have a specific taste that I only ascribe to. I kind of, like people say, I like everything except country and metal.
Mm-hmm.
But I do probably lean more to the soft indie stuff.
I'm probably the same.
Laura
yeah.
Marling. And
do you listen to Radiohead at all?
Yeah, that I had... I had a friend in high school who was very pretentious and... dicky about music, and he
wow.
really was obsessed with Radiohead
yeah.
and so I had a weird relationship where I like refused to like
because
them and
you,
I,
yeah.
I hated them
oh, that
just based on that but then
out of spite, man. That
right
sucks.
It totally
yeah.
was out of spite, and then I bet I only got into them because they played it's the most boring way to ever get into Radiohead, but they had a song on How I Met Your Mother when
which one
it's when I think it's Marshall is like in a car accident and everyone's like rushing to
oh,
the hospital
no, no, no.
and
actually,
they're playing
I've
fake plastic
one.
Trees
yes, yeah. a fake plastic tree
yeah and they're all rushing to the hospital
and
it's super
like,
dramatic
hey guys
yeah
going?
He's eating
yeah.
like ice cream or something
no,
when
it's
they
Ted.
Get there
it's Ted yeah yeah
is it Ted
yeah he's because it's his show essentially
no I know but
yeah he's like tell he's like there's a mo- he's, it's like a internal monologue that he's like saying and all of a sudden he like looks to the right and like a car like hits him. And it was like dramatic. Yeah, it's supposed to be like super dramatic.
And yeah,
like,
and they
yeah.
show all of the characters
yeah, yeah,
hearing
like
the
running,
news.
Like answering the phone.
Slow
like,
motion.
Hello? And then like dropping the phone and just like running to the hospital. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's fake plastic trees.
You
I
know
think
what,
that's
though?
Honestly, I remember hearing it and looking it up like, oh shit, that's Radiohead.
Yeah, Radiohead's great, man. Radiohead's yeah. really good. I like Radiohead a lot.
Yeah.
But
no one's ever gonna get this far. It definitely, like, if anyone does listen to this podcast, they're never gonna get to an hour 30 of this.
You don't think they'll just like they'll be sitting in a car ride?
No.
What
no
if
way.
What if people love us? Like, what if people love Kevin Mahoney?
Yeah, the only like our girlfriends are the only ones we're gonna listen, and they won't make
even
it.
That, I don't think
they won't make it this far. Yeah. They'll start it and then realize, no, I've heard all of these things before.
We could talk about relationships, but we don't have to get into that right now.
I have a new girlfriend, but
who I'm very excited to meet, by the way.
Yeah, she's coming on Wednesday.
Oh, I can't wait. We'll definitely, I cannot wait.
Yeah, long distance.
So anything I want to talk about, something in your life that you've discovered that's kind of benefited you lately. Anything that lately in your life, wow, you really hated that question. You were like, boy, this is when the
those
stupid
are just,
interview.
Yeah, those open-end, I hate those open-ended questions where, like, especially if I didn't know it ahead of time, like, oh, what am I, I'm going to pull something so shitty out of thin air.
It could be anything, but it doesn't have to be anything. It could literally.
So say it again, what was it again? I stopped listening halfway through. It's just like, as soon as you got halfway, I was like, this is going to be
something
such a dumb question.
Something that you've discovered in your life lately that's benefited you, that it's like, yeah, this has helped me, you know, write better, or this has helped me in the morning, every morning, or it could be anything or nothing. It could be like, no, same old shit.
Honestly, it's because I know no one's going to be listening at this point.
Come on. I don't know.
But it's super sappy, but it literally is this girl that I've started seeing. Yeah, I know. It's so stupid.
And you know what, man? That's, having someone in your life like that can really motivate you to do better.
She's way out of my league in every sense of the world,
yeah, there you go.
But and so she's making me want to be better for sure, to live up to live up to it, and knowing that she cares about me makes me care about myself more and makes me want to try harder,
because for so long all you ever do is live for yourself, but it's the first time you want to live for someone else. Yeah,
and it's not even totally that, and like wanting to impress her or like live up to anything. Lots of it is like the self-esteem that you get knowing that someone like this can care about you. Mm-hmm. It's I always think of that Aziz Ansari bit in Parks and Rec where he's talking about his new girlfriend Lucy, and he's like, she's smart, she's hot, and she's into me, which frankly is the most attractive quality in a woman.
I got the trifecta. What's up?
Like the biggest factor is that she's into me.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that if you meet a certain girl that you feel like is way better than you and she's into you, it gives you a boost in self-worth.
Of course, because she pays attention to what you're doing, yeah.
And it just, it stops you from doubting yourself too much, because I must have some kind of value if a girl mm-hmm. like this mm-hmm. is interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the first time where you're like, oh, like, I'm not just a piece of shit. Like,
exactly.
someone actually likes...
And then that makes you want to become less of a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you don't want her to find out that you actually are a piece of shit. So then you try and live up to what you think she thinks you are, even though you know that she is loving you for who you are. But that fraud complex
and you can just be yourself.
Never goes away.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect example of how something benefits you in your life today. So don't give me that bullshit about it's not a real thing.
I didn't say it wasn't a real thing. I just hate questions like that are so radically open-ended.
You're gonna be
that I can't think of a specific situation
because there's too many sophisticated journalists, and I was interviewing you for like this, like the Rolling Stone magazine.
No, see, that's a totally legitimate question. It's just, even if I hear that in a podcast, I feel bad for the person answering, because
so
I'm like,
that you hear in 20 years from now when you're married to this beautiful girl and she hears this, she's gonna fall in love with you 10 times more because of how you are now. Okay, all right, last question. This is how I end the podcast. It's the easiest question, I hope. Well, to some people it's the hardest question. I like to ask them, what is their ideal, their dream, their favorite breakfast?
Oh, Eggs Benedict.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the first. That's easy. That's I get that every single brunch I ever go to.
I don't think I've ever had.
Oh, man.
Can you explain
so
to me
it goes
it
way back for me, because my grandma used to make it every Christmas. So we'd have Christmas morning at my house, open Santa's presents, and then we go to my grandparents' house.
Whose presents?
Santa's presents.
I thought they came from, like, your parents and stuff.
You're a fucking idiot.
Wait.
Santa's presents are in the basement with the real tree, and then your parents' presents are on the second floor with fake tree.
Yeah. I need to spend Christmas in Minnesota.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So we have the Santa's presents in the basement.
Wait, is this for real? Is this like...
Oh, yeah.
Wait. Now I don't even know if you're doing a bit. Did you guys actually have a Christmas tree in the basement with presents?
We had a real tree in the basement with Santa's presents. And then all the family presents were on the second floor with our big fake tree in the window with all the lights. And then,
is this a real thing?
Well, how is that? That's not crazy.
Yes.
To have two trees? Is that what
Kevin,
you mean is crazy?
I've never heard about this.
The two trees thing. Or what part of this is crazy?
Well, first of all, I'm from Florida. We didn't have basements. We had attics, and we only went there if we needed to get like
no. We had like a whole box with lights. I slept in the basement from like eighth grade on.
We had two bedrooms in the basement. A tree in the basement where you had Santa's presents.
Yeah,
and then you went upstairs to the fake Christmas.
Well,
tree.
Well, no. So we would do the basement presents in the morning, and then we'd go to my grandmother's house for the eggs Benedict. And then we'd open their presents there, and then we go home, and then we'd do the family presents.
This is blowing my mind.
It was great. It was like
I didn't even know this was a thing at all.
Basements? Or which part?
Basement Christmas. Christmas basements.
I don't know. I don't think it's like a thing. I think it's just what we did.
Like the Mahonies or Minnesotians?
No, I think... God, you messed both those words up. But no, I think just us. Yeah, that was our thing. I'm sure other people have done it too.
I've never heard of that tradition ever.
It's not like
We had one Christmas tree in the living room, and we would fill it up with presents, and that was it.
See, we just didn't because we wanted a real tree, and we did, but we didn't want to get like the little pine needles all over like the nice living room, and so we put it in the basement. It was like a shag carpet.
Oh.
And then my mom loved having the giant fake tree that she could like decorate with all the
ornaments. Shag carpeting isn't a thing in Florida. Everything is like wood floors or tiles because it's like hot, so you don't need shag carpet.
No, this was nice and cozy. There was like a fireplace down there.
Wow.
And Dad would have the camcorder, and we'd all come down on our PJs. No,
that's awesome. Well,
yeah,
there's some good
home videos from the basement.
Anyone who's never spent a Christmas there really get an idea of how it works now.
Yeah.
So your grandma made Eggs Benedict.
Yeah,
what's the idea?
It was
for
English
Eggs Benedict?
Muffins and then slices of ham, which can change if you go to like cool California restaurants now. They'll do like, they can do salmon or bacon or anything.
Yeah,
but it's ham's
the
traditional. And then. Two poached eggs, well, like a poached egg on each, and then hollandaise sauce on top.
What's hollandaise sauce? How do you describe that?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
I don't know.
No, I know. I don't know how I could describe it. I've never made them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're... No, I don't even want to guess because I'm probably wrong. But I don't know. It's like... It feels like egg yolk with a little spice.
Yeah, but
it's not spice.
But
it's
almost
like tangy.
It's creamy, right?
Right, yeah. It's very creamy and yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have like breakfast potatoes on the side usually.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's
and you
awesome.
Cut into the yolk and then you see it spill into the
And that's when, and then you use the what's it called? The biscuits to dip the yolk and all that?
I never did that.
No, you weren't like you didn't dip your bread into the yolk?
No, that grandparent's side was very waspy and polite and we would never dip.
So how did you
cut it with a fork and knife. You cut out a little sliver of the egg and then you
And so it was rude. It was.
Oh yeah, we never would have used our hands to eat in that family house. No. They were like,
man, we ate was finger foods in my family. Everything was just like you.
No,
just
we would
stuff
in the
hand.
At our house, but this is my dad's parents.
Oh yeah,
and
we're Hispanic, dude. We were just like my grandparents were Cuban, dude. We would just grab shit and just put it in our mouths.
No, this side was very. You know, Catholic, conservative type household.
Yeah, that's crazy.
My grandpa was very intimidating.
Really?
Yeah. Just like, I remember him like knocking my elbows off the table if I get like elbows and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was very
uptight. I could sit on the table. My grandfather would be like, just laughing. He'd be like, yeah.
And that was my other side. My mom's parents were the exact opposite. They like as kids, they took like road trips in a mobile home to like Missouri.
Wow.
And my dad went to like Europe. You know,
they
were like complete opposite families growing up.
So when you go to a restaurant now, like brunch, it's always Eggs Benedict.
That's almost always my go-to.
That's awesome.
If they have it.
You know what? Next time I go somewhere, I'm going to get
you
Eggs
have
Benedict.
To. That,
I don't
I
think
feel like
I've
that's
ever ordered
always
it.
What I get at brunch.
I don't think
and
I've
it,
ever ordered
I
it.
Don't,
My mom
I,
likes it a lot.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's an acquired taste. But you definitely either like it or it is a bit, but it is delicious.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's great.
And it is something that I just like, you only get at brunch. Like I don't make for myself because I make myself breakfast all the time, but it's just, you know, toast, sausages, eggs, bacon. And it's just something that feels like a treat, you know.
Do you think it's Benedict Cumberbatch's favorite breakfast?
No, I think it's his least favorite breakfast because I bet people make that joke
all the time. Yeah.
Especially yeah. Waitresses.
Yeah.
In diners.
Yeah.
That would be a living hell.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a catchphrase to end this on. Like a, all right, folks, thanks for listening.
It's not a catchphrase. That's like a
sign off. There you go.
Catchphrase could be, I don't know which is better or worse. Like catchphrase is like, all yours.
Oh, if it carries on, yeah.
Well, or if it's like something very specific and unique to you, a sign off is like, "Have a good night."
Well, apparently this thing will never have a catchphrase because no one.
Well, the best ever is,
according to you,
"Good night and good luck, Edward Murrow." Do you know Edward Murrow?
Sounds familiar.
Have you seen the movie "Good Night and Good Luck"? Directed by George Clooney.
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's really, really good. It's phenomenal, especially nowadays.
I thought you were going to say, "In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good night." No, is it good morning, good afternoon? No, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good morning, and good night.
Yeah, I know what you're referencing, but I can't help
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
I can't help you with this.
In case I don't see you, good night. Nah, whatever. Jim Carrey's
in the Truman Show.
Okay.
Keep trying.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, good night.